Lee Davey, calvinair.com. I'm here at, I'm in Barcelona actually, 888 yes, Live. We're at the Gathering. I'm here with Natalie Hoff, just had a team meeting. It all looked very nice and civilised and homely and family. What's it like working for 888?
I mean, you know, I was with Progressive before, so I know working with, like, I know how it is to work with people in the poker industry. And for me, 888 is kind of a family, you said it right. And every time I, like, post pictures, I might hashtag 888 family because I really feel it. It's everyone, especially the ambassadors, are more like friends. We're, like, hanging out together, and even when we are not at a festival or in Vegas or whatever, we keep talking and being in touch. And when I remember my last contract and the people situation, it was very like distant. No one, especially the ambassadors, were like not that friendly as they are here. And there were people who didn't even say hello and goodbye to me, so I really, really enjoy being a part of this family.
I actually just wrote a piece because Victor Ramdin just left PokerStars after 12 years, and the only way that I found out about it is Victor posted, "I've left PokerStars," and I wrote saying, "Come on, PokerStars, not just PokerStars, all online companies. Yeah. If an ambassador leaves after 12 years, you should be doing a double page spread in a magazine. You should be tweeting about it.
Respect.
Have a party, buy him a cake, tell everyone how great he
like
was."
Like we do.
Like today, we just had a cake. And it is a shame. It's almost like sometimes, I'm not going to pick on PokerStars here, sometimes online companies.
Everyone, except editing.
looks like a brand ambassador. Oh, you've done your job, now you can go. And so it must feel good for that not to happen.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I feel very, like, loved.
Loved, yes, I like it.
It makes the work way easier because it doesn't feel like work.
Well, yeah, because then you want to be... Traveling is hard as it is, playing poker's hard, but if they treat you right, you want to be here, you want to do a good job.
I can be happy.
We've never met before.
I remember your face, and because you... I think we had an interview and you showed me your little daughter, and I remember you, because of your sweet little daughter.
I can't remember that. Yeah. Alright, well, when you was a sweet little daughter, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I'm 32, so I think I'm grown up.
Well, I'm 43, I still don't know what I want to be, but what did you want to be when you was a kid?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be everything. Even when I was a child, I couldn't decide. And even now, I don't know really. I mean, I'm a poker player, and I'm a TV host, and I'm an educational theorist, so I'm not this or that, so I don't know. I think the world and the life is very colorful, and I can't choose one and don't do it.
Okay. What is an educational theorist?
It's like... everyone is asking.
Well, I mean...
Because it's kind of... you study education, but you can't become a teacher.
Right.
That sucks, right?
Yeah, I still don't get it. So you're a teacher who doesn't teach.
It's like, I can go to a care station where I decide about the... For example, there's a family and they have problems with the children, and I think the child needs better protection. I can take the child and put it away from the family.
Okay.
Kind of this stuff. Or I can do like social work.
Okay.
Kind of social work.
How did you get into that?
When I finished my high school, I was like, I want to study. That sounds nice. It sounds wild times, parties. Let's study. But what? I don't know.
Right. So you just pick that.
And my degree was very bad because I was like very lazy in school because I don't like just learning stuff. I don't see a sense of knowing, you know? Because I have three things in school I like and I work for that, but the other stuff I don't feel connected to. It's very hard for me to learn stuff I don't like. So my degree was bad. So I had to choose like math, physics, educational science, theology. And I said, theology? Sounds easy, I take this. And I need another subject, so I take educational science.
Did you say geology?
Yeah, I'm also a
geologist.
Yes. Because it's...
So you can identify the rocks at a poker table quite easily then?
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
It's so weird because every time I say what I've learned, they say, you have such a nice biography because education is scientist, geologist, poker player, TV host. What's wrong with you?
So you have all these, as we say in the UK, these fingers in all these pies. Mm. Where do you fall on meaning and purpose? Do you give that much thought? Tell me a little bit about that.
About my purpose?
Yeah, do you ever think about what your purpose is in life?
I turned 30, so I'm 32, and I think till you're 29, you just close your eyes and live. And now I'm 30, and I was thinking, okay, I need a purpose. But why am I here? What does the world wants me to do? And I think, because everyone around me tells me that I'm good with people. Like, I can make people feel good. And I was like, okay, is that a profession? I don't know, it sounds nastier. But I think I want to go in the therapist direction, like coaching. So that's what I'm thinking about, like doing a coaching class or like become, I don't know, in the English word.
You want to do some training?
Yeah, like training like life coach or something like that.
Okay, so life
coach. I think
coach.
That's my purpose. It's like to work with people and give them a good feeling and help others.
Okay, so I imagine from a perspective of a life coach that learning from your mistakes and teaching other people not to make those mistakes is a good starting point. What are some of the hardest challenges you've had to come through in your life?
I think I don't believe in mistakes.
Okay.
I think if you... Some people are saying, I think I made the wrong decision. But I think, I mean in poker, it's probably the wrong decision. But in life, if you feel you have to do it now and you're like not as far in your mind as you have to be to make the right decision.
Yeah.
For that moment, it is the right decision and you either learn or you succeed. So I always say a winner is just a loser who tried one more time. Because if you read a biography, for all the entrepreneurs, very rich guys, they say, okay, for 40 years, I was a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And I failed all the time. And that was good that I failed all the time. Because most of people, they don't fail because they are afraid to try. And that was me when I was in the early 20s.
Right. You wasn't taking the risks you should have.
No. I was a knit.
A knit. A life knit.
A life
coach knit.
A life knit. And especially with poker, a knit.
who's inspiring you out there then? Because if you're into life coaching and want to help people, I imagine you're consuming a lot of podcast content, reading a lot of books, that kind of stuff. Who's really inspiring you out there at the moment?
I have a lot of German guys. Eckhart Tolle.
Uh-huh.
I love Eckhart Tolle. When I read his book, The Power of Now, it changed my whole perspective of life.
Right.
And I read the book in a situation I felt very bad. That was like my darkest year, I would say, but in the end it was the best thing happened to me because I felt very lonely and I had only myself and I needed to like start loving myself as much as possible to grow. So Eckhart Tolle, I would say, is the best in my opinion, just my opinion. And I like for like success and growth, Timothy Ferris, and some German, Tobias Beck.
Tobias Beck.
Yeah, he's very nice. But you don't know him.
No, I don't know him. I know the other two, but I don't know him. You said something then. What did you just say?
I don't know.
You were talking about Eckhart Tolle.
You asked me about my biggest failure.
You said you need to learn to love yourself.
Yeah, that's...
How'd you do that?
Actually, I didn't hate myself, but I remember me when I was 25, and I had some bad years because I had bad connections, bad boyfriends, bad friends, because it's very important with what you feed your mind, with the conversations and the things you read or watch, and I wasn't good in that.
Right. Yeah.
So, what was the question again?
The question was, how do you love yourself? You said you had to learn to love yourself.
Yeah. And I was very hard on myself. I was like, even with poker, I was like, when I bust, I was like, yeah, because I suck. And then, when I read Eckhart Tolle, and I was like taking my time to get to know me and accept myself, then I start loving myself. And I think some people are saying kind of arrogant, because when you talk so positively about you, some people will say you're arrogant, but I think if you love yourself to the fullest, you can give love to other ones. Because imagine a person who said, she's very ugly, she's fat, she's blah blah, like bitchy stuff, and a person who loves their self and who are happy wouldn't do that at all. So if you love yourself first, you can love everyone.
And it's very powerful as well when you meet someone who loves himself.
Yeah.
It's powerful. It's
because
not,
he gives you that feeling.
Yeah, it's not narcissistic. I mean, my wife loves herself and she's just super proud of who she is, and it exudes a real positive, sexy, lovely energy. It's never nasty or whatever. Power Now, it's a very difficult book to read. What
the beginning, right?
Yeah.
In the beginning I was like, oh my god, I studied theology, but that sucks.
So what were the main things that you took away from it? You talked about loving yourself. What else was it about the book that really hit home to you and made a difference?
I was like, the simplest thing, like to live in the moment, to not like, I remember me sitting there almost dreaming about the future or like thinking about the past and not like enjoying this moment. I was here, I was thinking of, oh no, I want to go to Vegas. Next week I go to Vegas, and I'm always in my mind in Vegas. Maybe I win there and then I'm not here.
Yeah.
So, and I don't like enjoy conversations because I'm already thinking about another stuff. And that was the main thing I took from the book, because I think most people aren't in the moment. Even when you like walk through the streets, I'm looking at every fucking tree and just think, what a nice tree. I don't think that everyone is doing this, but it's so powerful, to be honest.
It can be super annoying when you're with someone who's not present. I mean,
it's like on the phone.
We were talking about, yeah, there's a difference between earlier on, we were talking about your time in PokerStars and your time here now.
Yeah.
That's kind of a similar thing. It's people being present for you and people who are just not there, you know? Okay.
And for example, I think the most problem we have is like searching for happiness, because happiness is not a result, it's a decision. It's like I wake up and I said, no, I'm happy, and even if I like start smiling, my body thinks I'm happy and I will get happy. So it's not like if I win the main event this year, then my life is good. So, and if you don't think that, if you think my life is pretty good, I love my life, and if I win the main event, makes it even better.
Yeah, those things are nice to have, but yeah.
So take the pressure away.
I mean, I just interviewed Martin and said to him, "What changed as a result of you winning that main event, you know, what yeah. really changed? It's not much.
Yeah.
You know, because he was, you know, he's with it, isn't he? He's an Eckhart Tolle studyist, you know what I mean? Alright, so you got to love yourself, got to be in the moment. What else?
Don't judge yourself.
Don't judge yourself.
Don't judge yourself. Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. Even when you do like you're getting drunk and call your ex-boyfriend, then you judge yourself. Don't judge yourself. If you feel that way, then...
So there you are, folks. Okay, let's give them one more. So if someone's out there and they're struggling with life, don't matter where they are, they're struggling, they've got to learn to love themselves, don't judge themselves, live in the moment. What else have they got to do?
Get rid of bad persons in your company.
Okay, right. So we are the sum total of five people we hang out with. We just said 8-8 wonderful family. Let's hang out with them. We don't want to hang out with bad people. But how do you get rid of bad people?
Just be honest. For example, it's pretty normal if you. I have a friend, and we met when we were 1 year old. So we had a good friendship from 1 to 7. Then we grew apart, and now we are that close again. Because it's totally normal that you like grow in different ways. And if you don't take it personal, when I say to you, to be honest, at the moment, we don't connect.
Right.
And if the person is like reflected and knows, okay, she's not hating me, she's just telling me I'm not connecting, then it's fine to like, get rid sounds very bad. Like, choose your company wisely, because you don't do her a favor. For example, I have a friend, she's very negative, and I'm very positive. And I say to her, if you don't choose to be happy, I can't go back to negativity. So either we like sort it out, or we have to.
I say the same to my mom.
Yeah.
I say, Mom, I don't come around to see you, because when I do, every time I come, you moan and groan, and it drags me down. I don't want to be in that state. And I think.
And that's not sad, because you don't do her a favor.
No. And if you, I guess, if you're loving yourself, if you're not judgmental, and you're living in a moment, then you'll have the power to be able to.
Yeah.
You'll have the right energy, and just by default, you'll just attract.
And maybe the person would change and say, okay, maybe.
Or you just attract more of the people you like. And then the ones just flitter away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is there something else I can... Be careful what you feed your mind and body.
Right.
Because this year, in January, I quit smoking and drinking, and I smoked for 10 years.
You were smoking the last time I was here.
And when
I remember looking going...
Blah, blah. Yeah, disgusting. Now, when I like pass... smoking people, I was like, take them back, because I think it's disgusting. But I think because now I'm so in love with myself, I couldn't dare like to
keep
my body like poison. No.
Yeah.
And even with the mind, I don't watch TV, and I choose my like podcast or books wisely, because it's so interesting how the things we feed our mind affect our thinking, and thinking will turn into feelings, and feelings into actions. So even when I like talk with people who are so negative, after 2 hours I'm like, my God, I hate this world. Yeah, that's so.
I know.
So crazy.
Because you naturally just want to communicate with them. So if they don't come to your level, you end up going to their level, and. It is bad.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, we're okay here. We don't have to give ourselves a shower here. That's just why I don't like going to Vegas. Honestly.
I hate Vegas too.
When I go there, I just feel like...
But...
I love the poker, but I just...
But you can handle it. Last year, I was like, okay. I know I hate Vegas. I hate this place. It's so fucking fake. But I will, like, concentrate, stay focused on the positive things, and then and now I go for 4 weeks, so wish me luck.
Wish you luck. I wish you all the best
Thank
in
you.
Vegas. Wish you all the best here. Thanks for joining us, Natalie.
You're welcome. Thank you.